And on the phone with me right now is Mike Brapton. He's the co-host of a science and veterinary podcast with a hint of comedy. He is a biomechanic, particularly known for inventing Doppler BP system for taking blood pressures. He's the first person to use pulse oximetry in animals, as well as inventing an articulated pulse oximeter. Also, once a competitive bicycle racer and pro ski racer. And you're thinking, okay, that's all really interesting. Why is he on the show? It's because he's in the UK. That's why. How are you today, Mike?
Hello, Steve. How are you? I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you're fine. And your family, is everyone that is around you healthy and okay?
Yeah, I think if you're referring to the new COVID strain here.
I think I am, yes.
Well, yeah, over Christmas we've had two of the boys back at home. One of them tested positive in London about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly likely that that was the new strain.
So this is interesting. How old is your son, and did he have any signs or symptoms?
He's 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. He and a friend both contracted COVID the same time. One flew back to Sweden, and that night fell ill, but had no symptoms up to that point. And he contacted Sam to find out that Sam was equally poorly. Hmm. So, yeah, they had signs, they had symptoms, they had what they would describe as incredibly bad headaches and severe flu symptoms, feeling very down, high temperatures, and not terrifically well. I think he's 21 in about a week's time.
And how long did that last, and how is your son and your son's friend today?
They're both okay. He had symptoms that put him in bed for about 5 days, and has felt a little bit jaded, shall we say, a little bit tired, for about a week afterwards, but otherwise he's okay.
Now, were you separated from your son at that point in time?
Yeah, Sam was up in London. I lived down near the coast, near the south coast. So he was up in London. So he isolated with one other friend who was part of the three guys rent a flat.
Mm-hmm.
And the third friend went down with it a week after Sam and Steve. And so Sam stayed up there to look after him whilst he went through it as well. So all three of them in the flat had it.
And one of those friends you said went to Sweden, so we know that now Sweden has at least one person that had it, right? So he's responsible for Sweden now. He's killing the Swedes,
well,
you know? But other countries have said as well, ranging from several countries in Europe to Canada, and probably we have it here in the United States. Do you think that... and are people offended in the UK that all of these countries said, no, more travel... Or at least you have to be tested, which is the case in America. So if you want to come back from the UK, you have to be tested.
Yep.
Is that offensive to you in any way?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily offensive. I think it's a little frustrating because something like 50% of the world's gene sequencing is done in the UK. So if anywhere is going to find out that the COVID-19 virus has started to modify itself and evolve, then it's likely to be the UK that we're going to pick that up in, because we're doing far more of the gene sequencing than anywhere else, anywhere in the world.
And actually, I happen to know that's true, and I'm going to ask my next guest about that. I mean, how can mm-hmm. we know what variants or mutations occur if you don't look for them? You're not going to find them, right? And the United States, I'd argue, has not done a particularly good job of looking for them. Some other countries have, and I believe the UK kind of leads the way there. Are your scientists saying New Year's Eve is, like, off? We're not going to have that in the UK?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's we've gone into what we, in the last 2 weeks, Our erstwhile Prime Minister Boris Johnson was saying, we're not going to touch Christmas, you'll all be able to put three households together and have holidays for 5 days and everything will be wonderful. And then last weekend, with about 2 days to go, it suddenly became, you can mix two households for 1 day only, and then from midnight, you go into what they call over here tier four restrictions, which means that you can leave your home for a medical reason or a legal reason, or one of you can leave home to go to an essential shop to buy food. You don't mix in other people's households. You're not even allowed to mix in each other's gardens. If you do meet people out in the street, then it's generally considered it's you and one other, and face masks will be worn at all times, and you will socially distance. So we're now going back into probably a stricter lockdown as we had way back in March and April time.
Is there verification, you know, we might not know about it yet, is there verification, mm-hmm. as far as you know, that the vaccine mm-hmm. that you have in the UK, which I think is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which works a little differently than the vaccines we have approved so far in the US. It doesn't mean it's any less or more effective. I'm not suggesting that. I think it just works differently. Mm. First, that vaccine is absolutely effective against the strain.
I think we've gone live with the Pfizer vaccine here already.
Okay, good.
And that's been going for about a week. Mm-hmm. The AstraZeneca Oxford University vaccine is due for clearance for use in about a week's time.
Okay.
Generally, it's considered that they will be as effective against the new strain of the virus. I think, and I don't know, one of the, probably by the sound of it, your later guest will be able to shed more light on this, Steve, but if you think of gene sequencing, you're looking at 23,000 sequences of the gene. So think of it like a whole book, which, when you read it, all makes sense. And so far, the new variant, and this is very similar to the South African variant, the Brazilian variant, and the one that we've detected in the UK here, you're looking at a change of 17 gene sequence in 23,000.
So do you think this is an over response then?
No, I don't think it's an over response. I think we've got to be wary because the new variant, the viruses has evolved as all viruses will, and
yep.
where life can, it will find a way, whether that be a blade of grass between the slabs on the sidewalk to a tree growing on the side of a cliff. You know, a virus is no different to that. It is a life form, and it will evolve to maximize its ability to spread and replicate. So you're not a very good virus if you kill everybody that you come into, every host you come into contact with. So there is a theory that whilst it is significantly more infectious, it may not be as damaging as the original strains that we found and have been dealing with for the rest of the year.
I've heard that too.
That's a theory.
Right. So I've heard that as well. So it's your strain, the UK, I'll blame you. So the thinking is that doctors are more on top of that strain in the UK, not only for the reason that it's happening in the UK, but I hesitate to say that because now it's happening in many, many nations around the world.
Yeah,
but it's
sure.
also because of what you just said about gene sequencing in the UK being sort of ahead yeah. of some of the others on that. So is the current thinking that this particular strain of the virus is indeed more infectious but not necessarily more dangerous?
I think that is what we're hoping for, because certainly with it being more infectious, that will mean that a wider range of the population will require hospitalization. And if those numbers increase significantly more than they have currently, that is enough to overwhelm the hospital system. And that's the key danger with the whole thing.
Do you think that I'm asking you to speak now for every citizen in the UK. But which
well,
is
thank
no,
you, Steve.
Yeah, no problem. Do you think that overall the citizenry there is content or happy or accepting or understanding, might be the best word, of how the government has handled all of this?
No. No, they're not. And the obviously, you and I have known each other for a little while, and you know the sort of the science backgrounds that we both have. I think the average man, we used to say the man on the Clapham omnibus, the average man and woman in the street, is tired of the whole thing. They don't necessarily believe or listen to the messaging that is coming out from the government. And that's partly because we have a prime minister that's gone, don't go out, unless you have to, in which case, go out.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of mixed messaging thing has worn everybody down to such a point that they're almost ambivalent. They don't worry about it. They may not know anybody that's had COVID, therefore it doesn't exist. And because it can't be seen, it really can't be existing. Therefore, it must be some global conspiracy that's brought it all about.
So you have citizens that think that too, which is incredible to me. And we'll be talking to, first of all, it's incredible to me and certainly to you because you're a scientist. And we'll be talking to a scientist, in fact, next half hour about all of this. Mike, to you and your family, stay safe. What are you doing quickly here on New Year's Eve?
I'll stay in and watch the television like I normally do.
Do you guys actually say it's the telly? Do you still say that?
Yeah.
All right. So he'll stay in and watch the telly. Thank you very much, Mike Brapton. I appreciate your time.
You take care, Steve, and you stay safe as well, and all your listeners too.